we find, which is also important, is preserving and protecting the health that relates to the soul and the mind. The soul and the mind. We've spoken a lot about the body, right? There is the heart, which is not our topic today. There is the body, then there is the soul, and there is the mind or the intellect. All of these are connected. All of these are connected. Even, you know, we know that Islamically there is a connection between the soul and the heart and the body and the intellect. When we read the statements of the scholars like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah ibn al-Qayyim, we see that they speak on the basis of this connection. And even in terms of the knowledge that we have today, you know, there's a connection between the heart and, you know, the mind and the body and the faculty of reflection and emotions. All of these are basically connected. And that's why you see there are certain diseases which arise, and they arise because of psychological, emotional reasons. There are many ailments of the gut, for example, irritable bowel disease, problems with the gut, and they are psychological and emotional in their origins. Right? You can be treated with all the drugs and whatever else you want, but the underlying problem is actually psychological. Right? So, the state of mind and things like anxiety, stress, grief, and so on and so forth, they actually have an effect on your health. And so maintaining this element of having a sound, serene mind, your soul is sound, and your aql, your intellect, you know, you nurture your intellect. All of this is part and parcel of keeping the health, of the body in good shape. So from the elements that relate to this aspect of psychological health and spiritual health, we see examples or indications of this in the Sharia. By way of example, the Prophet ﷺ would be surprised by something which we refer to as at-tafa'ul. At-tafa'ul, the best way that we can really explain this is to be optimistic. Right? To always have a positive outlook on things, to anticipate something good, to anticipate something positive. If you have this attitude and you have this mentality, you will be saved from illnesses and diseases. Because your mind is in such a psychological state that it always sees the positive and anticipates positive things. Whereas if you're always negative, right, it puts your mind or your body into a state, like a psychological state, that makes it prone to disease. So an indication of this in the Sharia is where Qatada, he said that he heard Anas radiallahu anhu say, indeed the Messenger of Allah sallam, he said, قال لا عدوى ولا طيرة ويعجبني الفعل. He said there is no such thing as adwa, as the concept of an infectious disease in its own right. And nor is there any tiyara, this belief in these omens where, you know, that the birds flies over you and it goes in a direction, it means something bad's going to happen. This thing doesn't exist. It's not real, it's not true. But al-fa'al is something that really surprises me. And so I said, what is al-fa'al? Al-fa'al, he is like a good omen. And he said, it is al-kalimatu tayyibah. Al-kalimatu tayyibah. It is a good word, a positive word. What is being referred to here is basically, it's like when you create optimism, when you create good hopes, when you use speech that basically puts good hopes in people. You say positive things to your children, right? This is what is meant by al-fa'al, right? Optimism, good positive words, encouragement. So basically you create a character, a personality that always sees things positively, always has good anticipations, always had, an optimal, is optimistic in his or her outlook towards things, right? Not negative. This is what is actually meant here. And an example of this, an illustration of this, is the hadith in which Khabbab bin al-Arrat, he complained and he said that we complained to the Messenger of Allah about, you know, the hardship that would come to us from the mushrikun. And so the Messenger of Allah he told him about, you know, the people who would come before, and how they would be put into a pit that was dug for them, and a saw would be put on their heads, and they would be sawn in half, and they still would not renounce their religion. And he said, indeed, you are a hasty people. So here, the intent here is to create like a positive, optimistic type of feeling in a person. Right? To make him be positive instead of negative. To be, you know, anticipate goodness and rather than be negative. And so this is the kind of thing that we are talking about. And in a way also, if we think about this, when you are optimistic and happy and you think positively of things, there's something that the doctors today, they speak about called the placebo effect. They call it the placebo effect. It means that you give someone a medicine which is really just water or a sugar pill, right? And you tell them, yes, you know, this, you'll be fine, you'll be cured. And then they give a control, another group, actual medicine. And they find that the group which has the placebo, which wasn't given any real medicine, they actually have a positive effect as well. So how can this make sense? They were not given the actual therapeutic the element. And so this comes down to what this is what they call the placebo effect. And really what they do is they use it to discount, right? This is where their experiments are designed. But in reality, it is a inherent faculty in the body by which bodies are healed. Ibn Taymiyyah mentions this. In fact, Ibn Taymiyyah mentions this in the context of, he was asked a question by someone who said that the doctors are telling me that only alcohol or wine or the flesh of the pig are going to cure this particular disease. And so Ibn Taymiyyah responded and said, whoever says that any specific illness can only be cured by this specific thing, by way of habit, by way of custom, then this is an ignoramus who does not know medicine, let alone, who does not know what Allah revealed, let alone, sorry, who does not know Allah and His Messenger, let alone knowing medicine itself. And then he expands and he says, because cure is not in any one thing habitually. Rather, it is in many things. It can be in the Quran. It can be in medicinal treatment. It can be in the inherent faculties and strengths and abilities of the body itself. It can be in so many things. And so here, this the whole discussion we are having here of being optimistic and being positive and saying good words and things like that, all of these have a tangible effect on a person being cured of a disease. Right? This, and so this is connected to this issue of optimism and, you know, being in a good psychological frame and a good psychological mind. And so all of this is part and parcel of good health, you know, the mental, psychological elements of that as well. So these are eight. From that we can see the beauty of the Sharia of Islam and how it has come with the most complete and perfect of guidance. In fact, I don't have time to read from the statements of Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, his medicine of the messenger, I'll mention it briefly, is not like the medicine of the physicians. For the medicine of the Prophet is certain, definitive, emanating from divine revelation, the lantern of prophethood, and perfection of reason. As for the medicine of others, most of it is conjecture, presumption, and experimentation. Then he goes on to mention many other things as well. The point being here then is health is a lifestyle choice. Right? Depending on what lifestyle you want to live will determine the types of diseases you will get. If you want to follow the medicine of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you need to live your life in accordance with what we've seen in terms of these guidelines. If you live that life, if you live and you choose that lifestyle, then your diseases will be very simple, very short-lived, and they will be cured by the simplest of treatments, because that is from the way of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So really, it's a lifestyle choice. You have to understand this point, that you know, you might think, why are there only simple cues in the Sunnah? Why don't we see all these sophisticated... And that's because the type of life you live will determine the types of diseases you get. Right? So if you want to live your life opposed to these principles, and you abuse yourself and your body in your diet and lifestyle, and you develop diabetes and cancer and, you know, heart disease and so on and so forth, then you say, well, you know, how can I treat this with a prophetic medicine? Well, hang on, this is not right. Because the prophetic medicine wasn't made for people like you. It was made for people who follow the prophetic guidance all around. In fact, let me. This is a beautiful, I didn't want to really miss this from Ibn al-Qayyim. This is important for us to get this point. If I can find where it is. Basically, the point Ibn al-Qayyim makes is that he makes an analogy between the Qur'an, that the Qur'an can only heal a certain type of heart. The heart of the believer. It is shifa for the heart of the believer. The heart, the Qur'an will not cure the heart of a hypocrite. The heart of a munafiq cannot be cured by the Qur'an. Even though the Qur'an is a shifa, it is a healing for that which is in the chests. And then he analogizes with that and says, likewise, the medicine of the Prophet will only be beneficial for certain types of bodies, those who follow the prophetic guidance. As for the one who does not, then the medicine of the Prophet is not because, it's not because there's something deficient in the Quran that it's not healing the heart of a munafiq. It is because the heart of a munafiq is diseased. And likewise, it is not because the medicine of the Prophet is deficient that it's not curing a certain body. It's because that body is diseased. It's not, it doesn't want to live in accordance with the prophetic medicine in general. Right? So this is something that you really have to understand. That if you want to follow, if you want to use the prophetic medicine like honey and hijama and all the various other things which we find mentioned in the Sunnah, Zamzam, dates, cow's milk, whatever else that I mentioned, which are specifically tied, the black seed, to curing and curing of disease, then you have to live the lifestyle. Right? You have to live the lifestyle. You have to abide by the things that we mentioned. And you have to study the issue of like nutrition as well and food as well. And how in a modern environment, how can you ensure that you are eating with quality and in quantity, right? So you have to make that choice and you have to go ahead and study how you can implement that. So with that, we will conclude there. We've gone on for 2 hours and 6 minutes, but due to the importance of this topic, I hope that we've covered enough principles and things within this lecture which will give you a foundation and a guideline which to take further. And let me just finish with one more thing, which again will be of benefit, because I don't want to miss anything that's useful to you practically. There's a good model that you can use, in fact, of disease. And the best thing which I've seen and I've read in terms of a model of disease, which is very easy to remember, is the following. Imagine a pyramid. In fact, I have a drawing here somewhere, if I can show it to you. Right, so here you have a pyramid. Pyramid has 3 levels, and at the top there is 1 block, I've labeled it number 1. In the middle there are 2 blocks, and at the bottom there are 6 blocks, right? This pyramid, right? If you look at that, if you remember that, this will be a good model. In the top, number 1, which is the top level of the pyramid, this is basically the individual cell, the human cell. Because your body is made of trillions of cells, and your health actually comes down to the health of the individual cell. It makes sense. Right, so the cell, the individual cell, when it's functioning in the optimal level, you will be with good health. And so health and disease really at the micro level comes down to what's happening at the cellular level. Each and every single cell, when we isolate it, what's happening in that cell? Right, so health and disease comes down to the individual cell. Now, what are the things that can affect the cell and put it into a disease, right? Now, we're not looking at any specific disease, We're looking at disease in general, meaning that every single disease will arise by one of these two methods which are in the second block. Right? And that will only be two things. It is either a nutritional deficiency, right? That there is something missing in the biochemical pathways in your in the processes. There's something missing. Or there's something that's not doing the job because it's deficient, it's not present, or it's not present in the right amounts, or there's a malfunction in that biochemical process, right? So that is a deficiency, right? So it's making the cell malfunction because it hasn't got the enzyme or the factor or the mineral or whatever else it is, or it's not able to produce an enzyme or something. There's something there that's not allowing the cell to function. So it's either a deficiency, or the second one, it is a toxicity. There's something in your cell which is toxic that is blocking the biochemical pathway. So the cell cannot do what it's supposed to do. Right? And so over time, a disease condition will arise. So the point being that you can think of every single disease, no matter what type it is, will always come down at the cellular level to one of these two things. Either it's a deficiency in something, or there is a toxicity that's causing that disease. Right? So that's the second level now, yeah? So number one is the cell, and the two things that can go wrong with it, deficiency, toxicity. Then there are six pathways underneath. There are six different elements that can contribute to that. What are they? Number one, it is nutrition. What you eat, nutrition. There could be deficiency in nutrition, right? You're lacking in vitamin D, for example. You're lacking in the mineral selenium, for example. You're lacking in, omega-3 fatty acids, for example. Right? They are affecting the biochemistry of the body. So nutrition is a pathway by which the cell becomes deficient. Then there is toxins, toxicity. Right? So your environment, there's pollution, there's, electromagnetic radiation, there's the wireless, the cell phones, whatever else is coming to you. This is affecting your cells, right? Because the cells are electric as well. There's electric impulses involved as well. So it's affecting you, right? So toxicity can be chemical. It can be electrical. It can be in terms of waves. It can be even emotions, toxic emotions. Envy, greed, jealousy, right? These are toxic emotions. And they can affect a person's health as well. Right, so second is of the things at the bottom level, which are six in number, is toxicity in these different ways. Third element is the physical element of the body. We spoke about exercise, that can affect the cell as well. The fourth element is the psychological element, right? The fifth element is a genetic element, genes, right? So you might have abuse in your lifestyle, in terms of diet, in terms of rest, in terms of whatever else. Those switch on genes, switch off genes, right? That abuse is embedded and it gets passed on to your children. So your children have certain ailments, right? This can happen over generations. So the genetic element is there as well. And finally, the medical element, which is a lot of disease, can actually be caused by wrongful medication, right? And especially in an age where drugs are pushed upon people which are of questionable benefit. And so medication, taking the wrong medication, the wrong treatment, that itself can be a cause of the deficiency or toxicity in a cell that in turn leads to disease. So basically the best way to look at it is, think of disease as only ever being one thing. The cell is not working properly. There's only one disease, right? Now the manifestations of that disease can take many different forms. There's cancer, there's diabetes, there's heart disease, there's this, there's that, whatever. All the diseases you can ever think of, they are just different manifestations of one underlying disease, which is really the individual cell. There's something wrong with it. It's not working the right way. That will only ever be caused by one of two ways, deficiency or toxicity, right, at the biochemical level. What led to that? It'll be one of six things, right? Nutrition, toxicity, physical aspects, psychological aspects, genetic elements, or medical, wrong medication, or a combination of these things together, right? So this is a model that you can use which is a beneficial model that you can use just to grasp the concept of disease, and you know how to put down a program for you, for yourself, for your family, to try and put things to set things aright, inshallah ta'ala. So with that, we will conclude. If there are any questions and answers, questions that you want on anything that might have been unclear in my lesson, just for the sake of any clarifications. So if there's anything that is unclear to you or you might feel needs elaboration, then we'll have a few minutes for that. Otherwise, we will close the session there because it is late. And, you know, we'll conclude. And I believe the shop will be open for the people who want to go to the shop, to the bookstore, to the health store. So... Which one? Okay, the bottom, yeah? Okay, it's a question to do with different views and opinions which are found amongst nutritionists and even, you know, health practitioners and even doctors, for example, where you find conflicting views about, you know, oils, for example. Is this oil good or is that oil bad? This really comes down to something that you have to research, as Ibn al-Qayyim said. There's an element of medicine where it's down to research, experimentation, and to a large degree, it's down to you making your research and looking from other people's experience and practice and experience with things. And that's why, as I said to you, it's important to understand that the Sharia did not come with specifics. It came with general principles. And it left people in their own cultures and civilizations to go and pursue cures, you know, based upon what they experience. So when it comes to issues like this, is olive oil good for frying, or is, you know, coconut oil good for this, then that's up to you to go and research and find out and learn from other people's experiences, and there's enough information out there to make a reasonable choice, right? Now, it's not the case that every time you're going to find the absolute truth and the specific thing, but every time you're trying to make a reasoned, adequate choice, and it might be the case that at some point you learn new information and you make that adapt to that, and you... So another time, some other information comes to you and you adapt to that as well. This is how it is. This is how it is. Right? So you pursue this and you continue this. And so there isn't any, I can't really say, you know, a specific right or wrong in these issues. It's something for you to make an educated, reasonable choice. And any time some information comes to you, then you change. Because these are the worldly affairs in which the definitives are not as clear as what we find in the religion, in the affairs of the religion. So this is open to you, and it's an open field. And there's discussion and things like this, criticism. These are open, and we don't, you know, become, firmly entrenched and have, you know, bigotry in these kind of issues. It's open for discussion and research and whatever else. Now, that does not mean to say that we cannot criticize things which are clearly established to be wrong or to be malpractice or to be whatever else. We can do that, but in these kind of things where, you know, it's basically open. Is there a hadith which says one of the signs of the last day is the appearance of diseases which did not exist before? Well, the hadith which I mentioned earlier, there's a hadith in which the Messenger of Allah, he did mention specifically the open obscenity and lewdness when people engage in shameful deeds openly in public, and they divulge them openly and spread them and do it in the open, then there will be diseases that will appear amongst them that never appeared in their forefathers and their ancestors. Right? So that's the specific hadith that I know. As for that, with this general wording, Allahu A'lam, Allahu A'lam, I don't know. Okay, inshallah, we will conclude our session there for today. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.